Why do so many dogs die before their time? Actress and dog activist Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. Superfood Complete by Badlands Ranch is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including premium protein-packed beef, nutrient-dense organ meat, heart-healthy salmon, gut-healthy vegetables, and several superfoods vital to your dog's health. And because high-heat cooking can add unhealthy things to your dog's food, Superfood Complete uses air drying, so it gets cooked low and slow. This means it has the convenience of kibble, but the health benefits of whole foods. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible benefits, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 right now to get up to 50% off your order and a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's badlandsranch.com/save50 today. All dogs are unique. Your dog's results can and will vary.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Robots Radio. Games. Lore. Stories. Community. Just press play.
Welcome to the Fallout Lorecast, the podcast that explores the boundaries of our knowledge about the world of Fallout. Panic followed the bombs. Where social structure collapsed, so did drive and meaning. Nobody wanted to perform anymore. Even if they did, it was too dangerous. And there were more important needs at hand. To keep my craft alive, I had to create a safe place for it. A family of performers, each provided with unconditional support and protection. The show must go on, after all, even past the end of the world. This is a quote from Mother Charlotte, a quote that sums things up pretty well for this faction. She is the leader of the Showmen. She's the founder and the person who is still in charge today, or at least during the events of Fallout 76, when you get to meet her and you get put through the paces, but we'll get to that part later. Like I've talked about on the previous episode, we're going to go through each of the factions in Atlantic City, and they are one of the most unique factions, I think, that exists in any of the Fallout games, period. We have a variety of different factions. We've got these military groups. We have groups that are trying to bring back America or just trying to keep people together during a time of hardship. And then you've got raiders, and there's actually a very wide variety of factions. But when it comes to the Showmen, there's something a little bit different. One of the things that this research has got me thinking about is, and this is the kind of thing that happens a lot with Fallout and understanding the perspective of the game and living in a post-apocalyptic world, we have to always consider that things will be different. And that sounds obvious, but in specific contexts, it isn't always obvious. I am a artist of sorts. I'm a performer of sorts. I've done a variety of different kinds of things that have to do with creativity during my life, from making podcasts like this to touring in bands to acting and doing improv in college. I've done a number of different things. I always tend to consider part of my suite of skills and talents to be artistic. And yet, where does somebody like me fit in when the world ends? And hopefully that's not something that we will ever have to discover in our own world. But in the world of Fallout, it's very real. What happens when a community of artists, performers, have their livelihoods taken away from them, have the value of what they do for a living, the service that they provide their community, stripped away because of the dire needs of the world? When food is easy to find and everybody's got a little bit of extra money, then they can spend some time going to the theater or enjoying a musical piece. But when things are a lot tighter, people who have artistic talents, well, their value just isn't quite the same. And so what do you do with a community of people who lose this sense of meaning and on top of it may not be as valuable, and I'm putting this in air quotes, I know you can't see it, but valuable to the world at large when the world ends? Well, that was the problem that Mother Charlotte sought to solve. And there's a reason why she's called Mother Charlotte. It's because she herself sees herself as kind of a parental figure to the rest of these artists and performers. In a place like Atlantic City, you're going to have a lot of artists and performers. It makes sense that they had to band together. This is a city that was not just driven by greed and the casinos and trying to make a quick buck or the mafia kind of thing going on in the background, but also by the main thing that the city does. And what it does is it provides leisure and pleasure, a place for people to go to relax. And so you're going to have a lot of people who work in that industry, and then all of a sudden the world ends. And what do? Well, she figured out that she needed to provide for the people in her community a place that they could go, a place where they could feel safe, a place that would provide for them. And also, beyond just the basic necessities of survival, something to give them meaning. The show must go on. And so what does she do? Well, she negotiates. She becomes a major figurehead among the three main factions: the Lombardi family, who we talked about last time, the Munis, who we will be talking about in the future, and this group, the Showmen. She establishes them as one of the three main groups, and on top of that, organizes them in a way where they can hold their own. There are individuals in this group who are prepared to fight to the end in order to get what they need. And that turns very deadly. You see, she realized that not just did they need sustenance and did they need to have some sort of purpose, but that entertainment was still possible in the wasteland at the end of the world. It just needed to change. So she wrapped together a form of entertainment with a way of determining who has the will to succeed, the will that is needed in the wasteland to succeed, the kind of drive and passion that she's looking for people in her community. This was called the most sensational game. Now, in the game, this works like part of the quest line where you go through, and of course, it's Fallout, so you're going to end up in a situation where you have to defend yourself and take down the enemy. But the reason this exists is very specific. It is a way to determine who has the will to survive in a way, in a format that isn't just the violence of the wasteland. It isn't just chaotic. It isn't just survive out there, go, let's see if you survive and then come back. No. This is organized, and it's organized in a very specific place, in a very specific setting, with people under her control. During the most sensational game, you are brought to the location of the Aquarium of the Atlantic. And the Aquarium is one of multiple locations that this group, the Showmen, control or show up at. So the two places that they control are the Showman's Pier, and this was a location where they would do performances. There's a stage, there's a backstage area, there's fun and games to be had at the pier. And then there's the aquarium, and then they also show up in the casino quarter, but that's part of the Lombardi Group's area where they show up during tax evasion. So let's talk about the aquarium. The pier is interesting. Some of the events at the pier are fun and interesting, and you meet different characters there, and you do some of the quests there, and there's some fun things to find in and around the pier and then in the theater at the pier. But what's more interesting to me is the aquarium, because the pier makes sense. The pier sounds like the kind of place that a bunch of performers would be at. It sounds like the place where they used to work before the bombs dropped. But the aquarium doesn't feel so much like a place for performance. It feels like a place to hold on to some of the things that you want to hold on to document and showcase aquatic life. That doesn't feel like a performance. It's an enjoyable thing to go see, but it isn't so much about performance. And yet this is the location for the most sensational game. Now, before we get into the details about the pier, because there's some really cool stuff you can find if you look around the pier, which we will talk about at the end of this episode, we first need to discuss a little bit more about Mother Charlotte. I mentioned earlier that she goes by Mother Charlotte because she sees herself as a parental figure to these individuals, and she follows through with that, with these tests that she puts them through, but in kind of a psychopathic sort of way. Any good parent will keep their children on a metaphorical leash, not a literal leash. That would be a problem. Well, unless they're toddlers, and then you're in the store and you can wear one of those, you know, the ones that you see people use sometimes. Sometimes maybe there's a reason to use those sometimes, but there's a metaphorical leash. This idea that you put your children out into the world, you let them take on things by themselves with a limited amount of risk and a limited amount of danger. And when they're there, you're close enough to swoop in and help when you need to. And then you extend the leash a little bit by a little bit as they get older and older, to the point where they feel confident and safe enough in their own abilities to navigate the world on their own. That's what parenthood is. It's taking a child and slowly over two decades, preparing them for the world out there. And yet she does so in a very, very dangerous sort of way. She sees herself as the kind of person who is teaching confidence and building opportunity for her children. She is very against building arrogance or hubris. It probably comes from this place of being in the entertainment industry at all, where she has seen many performers, and when they, you know, they, their rise of fame gets to their head and they think that they're so much better than everyone else, it is the kind of thing that a lot of people suffer. And so she comes from a perspective where she needs to make sure that that doesn't happen. She believes that this kind of situation leads to turning a star into somebody who is actually uninteresting, somebody who is drab in her language. And that makes sense. When you take somebody with a lot of potential and all of a sudden it gets to their head and they get fame and fortune, they become predictable. What do all famous people do? The same things that all wealthy, powerful, famous people do. That is predictable. That makes them less interesting. It makes them less unique. And yet what she wants is for people to be individuals. She wants these performers and artists to continue being unique and creative. And so she fights against this. She also dislikes the concept or the suggestion of using phrases like insanity, because, well, insanity is just a box you put somebody in when you want to look down on them. So clearly she's not insane. So what do you get when you combine a lot of her children, the showmen, who have survived these tests that she gives her and kept themselves from getting too big for their britches, in kind of an archaic term for, you know, letting it get to their head, which I think is also an archaic term, by the way. And you take these people and you instill in them the bloodthirsty competency to survive in the world. And yet they maintain a certain level of creativity and uniqueness. Well, you end up with a gang of individuals who are willing to do anything they need to, any amount of violence in order to get what they need, and yet maintain the flair of stage performers, of the common artist, where each one of them is unique in their own way. And it creates a truly unique sort of faction. Now, you could probably say something similar about, say, raider groups. Each raider group has a bunch of individuals and they're all kind of their own thing and they all look a little bit different. But yeah, but they all look like raiders, right? They all have spiky punk hair and goggles and they wear metal armor or whatever, right? Because they're just gathering things from the wasteland. They don't ever seem to bathe. Yet the showmen are different. They aren't like that. They are dressed up in stage performance types of attire. They look like performers. They look like artists. And yet they are as dangerous and violent as any raider because they've been put through the tests that Mother Charlotte has given them. And maybe I'm casting Mother Charlotte in a dark light, and maybe that's just part of the nature of stating the facts about an individual like this, but you have to look at any of these characters. They have certain qualities that are considered good and certain qualities that are considered a little bit twisted. That's kind of the way these characters in Fallout work, right? Like, there's nothing wrong with wanting to be a parental figure to a bunch of people who are in need in order to provide for them safety and purpose, meaning in their lives. That is a very good, or typically seen as good, thing to do. Also, Mother Charlotte believes that everyone has potential that they can unlock. Now, that potential may turn into violence, but she's helping them survive. So is that the worst thing in the world? She also rejects these outside factors, this idea of the muse or some sort of external motivation being responsible for the lives and the futures and the destiny of these children, of the showmen. It's all on the individual. She believes, as do many Americans, this is a very American, like, it's all on you, the soldier of one, that sort of thing, that if you just pull yourself up by your bootstraps and you try hard enough, you can make something of yourself. And you can see how that could be beneficial. It teaches people that there is possibility that they can achieve and they can do things if they simply set their minds to it. So a lot of this stuff on the surface appears good. And yet when you mix it all together, you get a gang of violent, well, insane people. I know she doesn't like that term, who are willing to do whatever they need to survive. And maybe that's necessary in the wasteland, or maybe it's not. Maybe there's a better way.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.
Hello there, old chap. Good to see another of General Atomic's finest, still eager to serve.
All right, here we are in the middle of the show. I have some new patrons to welcome. Mothman's Hazard and Dan Baca Solo. I love it. Thank you for signing up. Patreon.com/FalloutLoreCast. And I hope you're enjoying your ad-free episodes. Oh, big news, by the way. You can listen, if you are a subscriber on Patreon, there is now a subscribers feed on Spotify. So you can listen to all of your ad-free episodes and any extra episodes that end up just on Patreon on Spotify. You don't have to use a different platform. You don't have to migrate an RSS feed into some other podcatcher. It's really easy to use. I posted about it on the Patreon, so go check that out. Also, gifting is still a thing. If you'd like to send somebody a gift of a subscription or ask for one for the holidays, that is totally available to you. Also, we have some new reviews that came in, and there's a very wonderful review, and then there's this one. This one's from Wolfface, Mr. Wolfface Wolf. The wolf faces are emojis in the US, who writes, Purple Devil. This is the other person's name that they're quoting here. Purple Devil, skull and crossbones, frowny face emojis review. Their review is perfect. And then Purple Devil, skull and crossbones, frowny face wrote, S tier, as an NCR soldier patrolling the Mojave almost makes you wish for a nuclear winter. Well, not with this. This amazing podcast managed to get Boone through his wife's death, as well as entertaining Jason Bright in the great beyond, and also managed to get Joshua Graham through his burning at the hands of the Legion. Thanks, Tom. This is my favorite ever podcast. Anyone who says otherwise, I'm sending Cazadores and Deathclaws to your house. Shout out, Mr. Wolf. Happy trails, partner. He added that in after Mr. Wolf said that their review is perfect. Thank you so much to both of you. That is hilarious. I love when there's synergy between reviews. Very creative. If you'd like to help out, you can always leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. I'll read them out on future episodes. You can also rate on and comment on Spotify. If you want to leave positive comments, please do on Spotify. That is awesome. I really, really enjoy getting all the positive notes that you guys leave. So thank you so much for that. And if you want to share with your friends, that would also be helpful as well. Also, one last thing. I'm going through this phase, and I guess I'm almost always stuck in this phase, but for the last few months, trying to determine what other kinds of content I would like to create. And that includes more Fallout content. So maybe featured videos that extend on some of the things we talk about on the Lorecast on the Fallout Lorecast YouTube channel. It could be fun and creative ways of doing bonus content around Fallout Lorecast. If you have ideas, if there are things that I, for some reason, am just not noticing that people would be like, oh, that would be really cool for you to do this, please let me know. Jump on the Discord, send me an email, whatever. Find a way to reach out to me. Let me know what you think. There's a channel on the Discord. That's probably the best way to do it. Or you can comment on one of the posts on Patreon if you're on there. So anyway, just wanted to throw that out there that I'm open to new ideas and suggestions, and I would love to give you all more of the stuff that you enjoy. So thanks for being here. Thanks for being a part of the community. All right, let's get back to the rest of the details about the showman. Here we go.
If you have any questions about Nuka World, I'd be delighted to answer them.
All right, so that is Mother Charlotte and the showman, and I'm... This is one of the conversations that pops up in the community all the time, is which faction is the best or which one would you want to be a part of? On the surface, I'm like, oh, the showmen seem cool. Bunch of artists getting together, trying to, you know, protect themselves, survive, build a place for themselves in the wasteland. And then you look at the details of the things they go through and surviving the game. That by itself, the most sensational game. I mean, you're going to go through it in the game. I recommend playing through this section of Atlantic City's story, and you end up having to defend yourself against a bunch of people. It's kind of it's just one of those situations where you end up murdering a few dozen people in order to survive yourselves who happen to be showmen. I don't know that that's sustainable in identifying potential future showmen. There's some logical problems there, but also, not sure that's the faction I would want to be associated with. But I talked about, and I kind of teased this earlier, the aquarium in Atlantic City is very interesting because, well, first of all, you should go see it. The details, the way that the area is designed works well for kind of an arena that you fight off a bunch of attackers in. But also, there are some fun little details when you look around. I mean, not only is the design very aquatic, it feels like you're in a submarine. It feels like you're walking around looking through these glass panes at the sea life that is just on the other side. And I'm sure this was originally things like dolphins and colorful fish and a whale and, seals and stingrays and those kinds of things. But in the post-apocalyptic world, these creatures are now mutated. And on top of that, there's a storyline here about, well, first of all, what the aquarium originally was like. And then secondly, what happened to an individual who, well, was stuck down here when the bombs dropped. And you can piece this together. So first, let's talk about the little plaques and things, the little terminals and plaques around the different pools and exhibits, because you have the original creatures that were here. There's the stingray exhibit, and there's stingray facts, where it says, stingrays get their name from the venomous barbs in their tails. Ouch! Please watch those fingers. Management is not responsible for any injuries. The stingray's mouth and nostrils make them look like they're always happy. Go on, flip one over and see for yourself. Stingrays have no bones. Ooh, spooky. Where did they go? like these kinds of fun things. There's one about starfish. The humble starfish is neither a fish nor a star. Huh? They don't have a brain. And see with their legs. Weird. They are also notorious for their ability to regenerate missing limbs. Whoa. We ask the patrons, please refrain from dismembering the starfish. These are great. I'm just going to go through each of these because they're a lot of fun, and they have that like silly, wacky kind of Fallout tone before things get much more grim. The shoehorse crab facts says, like the starfish, the horseshoe crab. Did I say shoehorse? Horse, I'm going to leave that in. Horseshoe crab is not an actual horse, shoe, or a crab. How confusing. Did you know they also have blue blood? Gross. Their blood is also vital to the pharmaceutical industry. How practical. They're also much older than the dinosaur. Neat. The whale exhibit says, did you know, contrary to popular belief, whales and other sea animals are perfectly content to live their lives in their own cozy tanks? The ocean is a very dark and scary place, after all. I feel like this is justification on imprisoning a bunch of sea life. Did you know, one day scientists believe we'll be able to communicate with whales. How exciting. What do you think they have to say? Did you know that researchers can tell how a beluga whale is feeling by examining the hormones in their snot? Yuck. And then you get this little detail here about the VIP experience info and pricing. Now, as with so many things that we get to see in Fallout, the pricing seems ridiculous, but we are quickly getting closer and closer to these actual prices. So the Marty and Mary t-shirt, which features Marty and Mary, the whales, is $169.99. Get your picture printed on a Marty and Mary t-shirt. You get to be on there with Marty and Mary. You can feed Marty and Mary, forget this, $289.99. Patrons will receive 3 fish to feed either whale. Note, no refunds in the event of the whale disinterest. Like if they're full and they don't want to eat. Sorry. Swim with the whales. You can swim with Marty and Mary for only a mere $1,489.99 per 20 minutes. Hold on tight while Marty zips you around his enclosure. Warning, management is not responsible for any injuries pertaining to bites, collisions, or potential drowning. Pretty good stuff. Now, the whale exhibit terminal has a thing on it where it says some stuff. It says, Aquarium of the Atlantic, welcome to the whale exhibit. Meet Marty and Mary, our 2 beluga whales. Marty was saved from a fishing net when he was just a calf, while Mary is on loan from a private collector. When Marty isn't chasing Mary's affection, he enjoys performing tricks for his trainers, Aurora and Brody. Mary, on the other hand, is more curious and loves chatting with our visitors. Be sure to say hello. So, the tone of this location is so silly and just kind of happy. And it's clearly the tone of, I don't know, some of the things that you see in the world before the bombs drop. But that tone quickly changes. Well, I mean, it changes suddenly when the bombs drop because an individual, one of the workers at this location, was stuck. So here you go. There's a note, and you can find a number of these notes. We're going to go through each of the notes. There's a note that is titled Trapped. It says, guess I'm trapped down here. tried to do the honorable thing by making sure everyone else got back to the surface safe and sound, but now I'm stuck. Damn elevators won't move. Tried everything I could on my end, but must be a problem up top. Oh well, only a matter of time until someone finds me. This place is pretty well stocked, so I'll be all right. That might be the first one. I'm not sure exactly about the order, but that might be the first one. There's another one called Still Trapped. It says, still have no idea what's going up on up top. Being this far underwater means we don't get any radio reception. No word on any of our comm systems either. I'm just glad Aurora made it out. If anyone comes back for me, it'll be her. Until then, I'll keep taking care of Marty and Mary and as many of the other animals as I can. Good thing we just stocked the auto feeders. All right. Still trapped. All right, so let's go to this one next. And again, I'm not exactly sure about the order. Maybe you can help me piece this together. But this one is called North Wing Implosion. The North Wing is gone. Heard a loud explosion last night, and now the entire area is locked down. My God, that's where I'd been sleeping. If I hadn't decided to check on the kiddos one last time before bed, I'd have been a goner. I don't know how much more of this I can take. Please, someone find us. That one might be a little bit later in the timeline. There's this one called Worried. I'm worried about the kiddos. I think Mary misses the guests. I keep seeing her go to the windows to look for them, but no one's there. Marty barely eats anymore. I try to exercise him, but he's become so listless. He just swims in circles all day. Hold on just a little longer, guys. Someone is bound to find us. Before you know it, the whole ocean will be yours to explore. And then we get this one, which I think is probably the last one by this individual who, I can't figure out their name, has been stuck in the aquarium just after the bombs dropped. Goddamn camouflage bastard. Stepped on a stonefish while I was cleaning out the tank. Hurts like hell. And the anti-venom isn't doing shit. Been 3-4 days now? At this rate, I'm not going to last another night. Marty was just telling me he fixed the elevator, though. Pretty smart for a guy with flippers. Once I get back to the surface, I'll come back for you guys, I promise. So, hallucination is setting in. It may have to do with the venom in this individual's body. And that's probably the end there for them. But there are two other notes. These notes can be found in the VIP section or near Mother Charlotte. Now, these are clearly by Mother Charlotte. These are not by this other individual. This one is called The Lone Vulture, and it says, a vulture has come to my city. He does not kill, but shepherds prey to their death. For what feast would there be in a quick and easy demise? No, for him, the feast is their struggle. Desert is when the last glimmer of hope leaves their eyes. Now, remember her feelings about being called insane? The tone of this feels not quite well adjusted, let's just say that. He has yet to find his place. It's different here in the city, where a semblance of order keeps the ignorant populace at peace. Yet he has come here, and thus with a reason, searching, yearning for a nest to call his own. Mother welcomes you, my child. This world would call you a monster. I would call you my own. I would give you a calling. Do you hear me, child? In destruction there is creation. Direct your impulses. Channel them toward a higher pursuit. I can see the shape of it now. A venue for others like you. Others with hunger. A place for them to be free. In this, you shall never be alone again. Mother welcomes you home, sweet Veratio. Now, I didn't mention Veratio Cruz yet, but Veratio Cruz is the designer, the architect of the most sensational game. It wasn't thought up initially by Mother Charlotte. This combination between Mother Charlotte's insane drive to train her children to make the most of themselves and Veratio's, well, I guess, I don't know, psychopathic tendencies led to the creation of this terrible, terrible thing. Now there's one more note, the mouse and the bull. And it says, a single victory is cause for celebration. Two is proof. Three or more, and we may deign to call it arrogance. Yet I cannot help but admire these orphans for such a show they've put on. The boy stands tall against every resistance, guarded by his tenacity. The girl sneaks through every trap. No doubt she'll soon start getting her own. Try as I might to bring these prodigies under my wing, they claim they have no need for family save each other. How a doting mother's heart breaks. For a child that cannot be tamed is a naughty one. I must find a handler, and soon, lest my darling Veratio's game become a farce. The masses of this ailing city present such lackluster competition, perhaps from the outside we can find a challenger worthy enough to put them in their place, to heal their naughty orphans, and breathe some spirit back into the waiting crowds. They sleep with their eyes open, blind to their own potential. How many times have I said that anyone can be a star? Anyone who is willing to risk it all, life, limb, and soul, for a chance to see their own glory. Well, there's some individuals that are pointed out here. The boy is Juchi Batsuri, who is one of the characters you meet in this zone. And the girl is Julian Batsuri, his sister. You see these two on the boardwalk when you early part of the area where you kind of first arrive. And they are some of the people that kind of take you in and introduce you to other individuals. But the other one, the one that they must find in order to justify the competition, in order to really shake things up and bring something new to their faction, is you, the player. So what would you do? Would you work with the showman? Would you join in this group? Or would you, well, fight against them? What do you think? To plug into everything else we're doing, check out robotsradio.net. Reach out to me on Twitter at robots_radio. Check out the Robots Radio Rocket Club, where you can join me and a bunch of our other creators creating your podcast, starting a new podcast, or helping your current podcast grow. There's more information about that on robotsradio.net as well. And you can always talk with us and the entire community, over 2,000 people on the Robots Radio Discord. Come join us. We'd love to chat with you. See you guys next time.
Experience holiday cheer at Tanger Outlets with savings up to 70% off your favorite brands. From fragrances to accessories and the latest styles, discover the best gifts for everyone on your list. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Coach, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Plan your trip at Tanger.com.